Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the first part of this will be the second lesson on is Cornelius saved yet? Is Cornelius saved yet? Well, what I want to start with is it kind of tails on to what we were talking about yesterday. Although the nation of Israel had already fallen, Israel's program was not yet fully shut down by the time of Cornelius, the Cornelius event in the Bible there in Acts 10. Israel had been, as a nation, the nation of Israel had fallen in Acts 7, and they were diminishing. Israel was in a diminishing process that took the rest of the book of Acts, from Acts 7 through Acts 28. And during that time, it's also called, coincident is the word. I mean, the two incidents are they're running aside. Same events going on apply to each of the, both to the diminishing and to a work that God said he would do in among his people that they would not believe. And you know, this diminishing, there's less and less of Israel believing as you go through the book of Acts, and more people joining, believing the gospel that Paul preached and being joined, I should say, into the body of Christ. So, Paul's program, the body of Christ, was already in operation, being preached, starting at the latest by Acts 13, because you've got the gospel there in verses 30. Well, the gospel, if you, complete gospel, you'd have to start in verse 28 and go through verse 39 to get all the elements of it. But part of that is the gospel of God, the first 28 through 30. So for a brief time there, both programs were in operation at the same time. And Christ sent Paul to provoke Israel to emulate the salvation that he preached during the mystery side of that same period, which is called a dispensation of the gospel. Paul was dispensing a gospel, a new gospel. It had to be dispensed. It had to be spread around that this is the way God is operating now. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 to 6 says that there are operations of God. This is one of the operations of God, this new gospel, new pattern of salvation. The gospel that a person heard and believed would determine which program they were in and which benefits they received. That's a lot to take in one sentence, but we're talking about there being still people being added to Israel's doctrine, probably only people that had heard about the kingdom gospel before, or maybe heard Jesus even, and hadn't believed. But then after Acts 9, after Acts 7, when Israel fall, they still individually could believe that doctrine, that gospel of the kingdom. Not that the kingdom was coming at hand the way it was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but that it was coming way out in the future sometime, like it still is. It'll be here on earth after the body of Christ has gone to heaven, has been caught up. All that good scriptures there in 1st Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. That's a great time to look forward to. But you've got, during that Acts 7 to, at least from Acts 9 through 28, you've got Israel still receiving new believers, as well as the body of Christ receiving new believers. Receiving believers. I mean, that's when the body of Christ was beginning. There weren't any people in it before Paul, for Well, like, for instance, for those Acts 2 believers to be added to. It says they were added to the church. That church was a different church. It was the church started, Christ said he would build in Matthew 16. The church today is the church, the body of Christ. That's referred to in Colossians 1, I think 1:18, I think it is, isn't it? 21 maybe. I think it's 1:18. Anyway, it's in that area, toward the end of that first chapter of Colossians. So that's the point of this packed together statement. The gospel that a person heard and believed determined which program they were in and which benefits they received. You know, a gospel has benefits to it. Do this or that, believe this or that, and you're saved. Well, being saved is a benefit, a great benefit. So a gospel involves news of how to acquire the promised remedy for a specific need. And that need is named in that gospel, whichever gospel we're talking about. If you're talking about the gospel of the kingdom gospel promises to believers in Israel's kingdom program, there were different promises. They were different from the promises of life, the promise of life to believers in Paul's program, the body of Christ. Whether they believed Paul's gospel during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ in the early, in the Acts period, or whether they believed Paul's gospel of the grace of God during a dispensation of the grace of God. And that dispensation is still going on today. That's the gospel that's being dispensed to us through the scriptures. Acts 10. That Acts 10 Cornelius event is quite likely Israel's last event before becoming not my people. I'm not going to teach that that's a doctrine the Bible teaches. It's a thought that I've got, really. But another thought is that they became not my people at the fall in Acts 7 rather than in Acts 10. And I don't know of any doctrine that changes with the change there, whether they became not my people in Acts 7 or not my people in Acts 10. But it shows the way things would have been if there had not been a break in Israel's history and their favor, a break in their favor with God. In other words, if the way I see it, that's the last event in Israel's history as they were being cut off. Had they not been cut off, that would have been the last event before the tribulation, before the incoming. Before the end of the tribulation. There's not a whole lot of scriptures that really indicate which way that is. So I probably shouldn't spend any time on it, really, any more time. It's just speculation. So let's stick with the scriptures. But it does show the way things will be in the resumption of Israel's history after the catching up of the body of Christ. That's where they'll pick up again. Look at Matthew. We'll look through Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And it's a parable. And it tells in verses 34 to 40, it's telling that the Gentile nations that blessed Israel would be blessed of God. Well, we know that from the covenant God made with Abram in Genesis 12, verse 3. But this is a application. It's the telling of a future application of that. Matthew 25:34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand." How'd they get on his right hand? Remember, you may not remember, but you may. they came before, the nations came before the Lord, and the Lord, you know what, rather than tell it from memory, this is a Bible study, give me a second to get the Theophilus text open here, the Bible open. It's the Bible I had open is the poster, and it's one verse at a time, and that doesn't do for reading sections like this. I'm looking for the beginning of it here. Get this over here. 25:30. Here we go. 31. I should have remembered that. My mind is gone. This is Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Those angels are holy. They're sanctified. They're set apart. Saints, they're called in other places. Sanctified saints. That's what holy means. So the angels are what come back with Christ. Even though they're called saints in some places, it's referring to sanctified angels or set apart angels, not the fallen angels. Anyway, back to the text context here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit in the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations. So what's before him? Individuals? No, in nations it's talking about. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So that's how he shall set the sheep on the right hand, on his right hand, and but the goats on the left. So that's how you get these left and right that we're getting into here in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. You probably remember the rest. They did good deeds to Israel. These nations blessed Israel, and they get a blessing here. But I just want to bring out, he's talking about inheriting the kingdom. Now, the Bible talks about several things that people often don't distinguish between them. Between seeing the kingdom, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. There's seeing the kingdom. There's, there's another one, I forget. But then there's this one. The third one is inheriting the kingdom. Oh, enter the kingdom. See the kingdom or enter the kingdom, which would be different. Looking at it from the outside or looking around and being in it. And inheriting it is receiving ownership of it upon the death of the testator. It's inheriting. When you inherit something, it stops being the person that owned it before and starts being yours. So there's some ownership of the kingdom involved in the word inherit. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, and saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, and it doesn't stop there, like the social gospel says it stops today, unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he's talking about Israelites, you have done it unto me. So blessing Israel before their fall is what's being spoken of there. After their fall, they don't have any special standing. They have to come to God the way we do. They have to they get acceptance, the right to understand even and to hear and believe the gospel of Christ by the gospel of God. If they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or believe that he rose from the dead, or that he's the Messiah, they don't. The rug is pulled out from under them. There's no way they can believe the gospel of salvation. Let me get back to my notes here. We stopped at 41, I believe. I stopped halfway through that pronouncement at the end. The king shall answer and say, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall they say unto, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, that would be those goats that were separated on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty. And it goes through these same things. And then they shall also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and or thirst, and a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And he shall say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So there is a playing out of the promise in the covenant in Genesis 12, the part that it goes from the covenant. I guess there's actually seven covenants in there between verse 1 and verse 3. But the one that says, God says to Israel, I will bless them that bless you. So the covenant doesn't extend to the Gentiles that bless Israel. Just the benefits of the covenant. The covenant is still to Israel. But the benefit, the promise within that covenant says that God, apart from Israel, is going to bless those that bless Israel, the Gentiles, the often called Greeks. That's where the Greeks come from. So, another step in Israel's diminishing was in Acts 15. When Peter talks about his Cornelius encounter, he agrees that Israel will stop evangelizing and leave that to Paul and the churches of the Gentiles that Paul founded. They'll do the in other words, nobody's going to be added to the kingdom church anymore from the outside. They're just going to minister to the true circumcision that have already gathered in the church in Jerusalem and the other scattered churches of God. Church of God, they're called in the scripture. If you see a Church of God today on the corner somewhere, they just grab the name because they're not Jewish. And, well, I shouldn't say that. Most denominations are more Jewish than Pauline, actually. Pauline. I'm getting off the track here. Let me get back to what we were talking about. When Israel stopped adding people to their churches, and Paul continued to do the evangelizing, and actually he was an apostle, sent out one, sent out to preach the gospel, and he preached it. He was a preacher. Evangelists, in Ephesians 4:11 is a little different. So that's not apostles. That's not direct sent ones from Christ. Not necessarily, I should say. They're not as directly charged by God as apostles are. Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. They're in fellowship, doing different functions, but in different churches, but in fellowship. They weren't enemies, okay? They were one watered, another planted the seed. God gave the increase and added to both churches as he had called them. The ones he called into Israel's churches, they went and believed the Israel future kingdom coming doctrine. Those that he had called by the gospel of Christ came into the body of Christ, believing that Christ died for their sins and rose to justify them. Did I finish the verse? They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. That's who God sent them to, wasn't it? So that worked out good. And they unto the circumcision. Well, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. He had the right to cut off any future use of the so-called Great Commission, going to all the world. And that matches what the Lord said. I'm not sure. Let me just look it up. It's Matthew 10:23. I want to get it right. He said, when they... I'm going to post it. Let me get it up there as soon as I can get it to copy here. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Well, he hasn't come yet, and they haven't gotten out of the cities of Israel. I mean, the part of the Great Commission, go ye into all the world, that's still on hold, in other words, until Christ comes back. Then, what is it, Zechariah 8:23 comes into play, that they will be the priests to the nations. All right, let's continue on. And the Acts 15 agreement told about in the verse we just read, Galatians 2:9, it could well have been Peter's use of the keys of the kingdom, as we had said, to abort the 70th week of Daniel and to make that the first year of the tribulation to instead be the acceptable year of the Lord and not the first year of the tribulation anymore, because they rejected the Lord. And that was that one year also regarding the parable of the fig tree, that after the additional year of nursing it along and fertilizing it, if it didn't produce fruit, they would cut it down. So Israel's program had to have already ended by the time of Peter's Acts 15 agreement that Paul told about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And as you read Acts 6 through Acts 11, which mainly involves Stephen's picking as a... I can't call them a deacon, but that's basically their function. They were servers. They served the food to that group in Jerusalem that had sold all to bring in the kingdom, and they were having it distributed to them as they needed it and before it ran out. So anyway, from Acts 6 to Acts 11, mostly about Cornelius, Stephen, Paul, and Cornelius. Okay, those three events. But it became evident that the three major events in those chapters all occurred in rapid sequence, or very possibly could have been simultaneous. Simultaneously occurring events, and as Luke writes that section, he doesn't actually say, then this followed, then this happened after that, or anything like that. He's recording these three different events that were in roughly the same time, and he had to put one before the other to get them all in there. And I don't believe that it's a happen so that they're in the order they're in. I think God put them in that order. But there is that possibility that that they were simultaneous, that the fall of Israel was at the same time Peter was talking to Cornelius. And at the same time that out there on the Damascus Road, within a few hours after the stoning of Stephen, Saul of Tarsus could have been stopped by Jesus in the great light. You have to keep that in mind, because you can't say that, well, this is chapter 11, not chapter 7, so it's much later. They could have been simultaneous. Or very, you know, in very quick, rapid sequence. Acts 11:27 to 30 was the first of 10 times that God had Paul get the body of Christ churches to give food to the poor saints in Jerusalem. But Acts 27 to 30, when the first time occurred, well, by the time of that, of Acts 11:27, God had already challenged the body of Christ to feed that church in Jerusalem, the church, the Israel church, Israel of God, Church of God in Jerusalem. I can give you a list. In fact, we'll go through them briefly of the 10 times that the body of Christ fed, or is talked about feeding, the Church of God in Jerusalem. The first time, it being a implication, not a statement of fact, but an implication in the scripture that the body of Christ, let me get this right, that the church there that was giving was in line with the other churches that gave to the need of the necessity of the saints there in Jerusalem. In other words, that they were already, they were no longer just a group of scattered Israelites meeting because they had gotten chased out of Jerusalem by Saul and his cohorts. But they were actually a body of Christ church. Okay, let me just put that aside. Thank you, PM. So this list of the references of those times when the body of Christ church in various places sent to or is instructed to send to the need of those believers, the saints in Jerusalem. Acts 11:27-30, and mentioned again in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 25 of Acts. Then you've got it in Acts 14:21-23, Galatians 2:9-10. Remember, we just read 9. That they gave him the hand of fellowship, and they were to go to the Paul was to go to the heathen, and the little flock was going to minister to their own, to the circumcision. And then the next verse says, only they would that we remembered the poor. That's a reference to it, to helping out those poor saints in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem that had given all sold their houses, their food, their clothes, and everything, brought the money to the feet of the apostles, and the apostles distributed that money as needed until the kingdom came in. Well, it didn't come in because of the fall of Israel, the stoning of Stephen, and so the Lord took care of them, kept his word to them, and they were under a conditional arrangement that they had to endure to the end, to in the end have their sins blotted out when Christ returns. So they had done this for the Lord, and the Lord had promised physical blessings for their physical church, and they've got a physical nation coming, a kingdom out of heaven coming to the earth to rule the world from the land. The land being a specific area there, a huge area, including Iraq and Egypt and Turkey and Syria, not just that little pinch of land that's over there now that's called the State of Israel by mankind. So then you go to first, these are more places where the scripture tells, the Lord tells Paul to have the body of Christ churches feed the church of God in Jerusalem. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, 1 Corinthians 16:1-4 and 3-18, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4, Chapter 9, verse 1 and 10 and 12 and 13. Actually, that whole section there is about it, from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9, 15, a chapter and a half. Then in Romans 15, 25 to 27. In Acts 20, when he called down the elders of Ephesus to Miletus and told them he had already been sent to all people by that time. Acts 20, verse 17, verse 28, and verse 33 to 35. 35 being that well-known verse that you don't see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you hear it quoted that it happened, that it was spoken then. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what that's about, giving to those poor saints in Jerusalem, to their need, to feed them, keep them alive. Also, 1 Timothy 2:8 through 3:16, and that includes that section about the often called a doxology. I forget the wording of it, but it's right in there, verse 15, I think. And finally, Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, setting in order those things that are wanting, the hungry saints in Jerusalem. And he's telling them to send overseers, bishops, overseers, with the money to have it properly dispensed there to the church in Jerusalem. But that means Israel's program must have already ceased its operation through, its progress, we'll say, through Daniel's 70-week prophecy. In 69 of those weeks, by the time 69 of those weeks have transpired, Messiah will have been cut off. But the bringing in of all those other things are mentioned earlier, I think verse 24, or 24, that hasn't happened. Not yet today, even. Being immediately before Agabus's prophecy in Syria and Antioch, the Acts 10 through 11, that Cornelius event, covers parts of two chapters there, it's the most likely candidate for being the change from being Israel's 70th week to being Israel's acceptable year of the Lord. After Israel failed to receive their Messiah and his kingdom out of heaven. So there was a change, because we know that the 70th week did begin by the words inspired of God, the words of Peter. He said, this is that the prophet Joel prophesied about speaking in tongues, about, you know, they had just seen darkness for 3 hours in the middle of the day the year before. So those things were happening in that seven-year stretch. But only the first year of it went by until Israel fell. And so that first year became the acceptable year of the Lord, when they could have turned around and received the Lord. And according to Acts 3:20, the Lord would have returned to earth to set up his kingdom, to finish the tribulation and set up the kingdom. Israel's acceptable year of the Lord had ended, and Israel's history stopped occurring until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is baptizing believers into today. And we were going through some of the verses in Acts 10, the actual script, the inspired words in the Bible about that of his name, Cornelius, the Cornelius event. So we're going to continue at verse 36. This is Acts 10:36. Read on down to, into the 40s anyway. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now, who's this to? Who did God send it to? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Don't grab it and say, that's mine. It's the children of Israel's. Preached peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Verse 37. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Very tightly tied to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel, the preaching, the doctrine, the preaching of the king, coming of the kingdom, being at hand, within their grasp if they would just have the faith. And yet in Deuteronomy 32:20, it's said about them that they were a people of no faith. A people of no faith. And it's no surprise to God. He was being merciful and gracious and giving them every chance, and it's all documented there in Scripture, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and yet they did reject him, as he knew they would. Verse 38, how God, just a minute, let me see. Yeah, I got to read 37 again, because the word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. This was how they were to know their Messiah. The kingdom would involve healing. And he went around healing, and yet they rejected him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these, of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. And you can find them places I know of one in Luke 24:47, I think it is, that there's a group charged as being witnesses to the resurrection. But not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So is there any doubt that Peter is talking about the earthly the earthly ministry of Jesus. That's what Peter was involved in. Paul is involved in the heavenly ministry of Jesus. But Peter in the earthly ministry. Acts 10:42, we've gotten down to. And he commanded us, that's Peter, James, John, the apostles that were sent out. He's talking about their being sent out ones, apostles. He commanded us to preach unto the people, that's Israel, the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. That's interesting. Most of the time you hear about two judgments, the judgment of the great white throne, the final judgment, and the judgment seat of Christ. But we know God determines who's saved and who's not at the catching out. He makes a judgment there. Who has believed the gospel that Christ died for their sins? That would be the quick. And the dead are the ones that are still in Adam. And in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, he died, and then he gave birth to Seth, and the rest of us have been born after Seth in the image and likeness of sinful Adam. Dead. And he's the judge of the quick and dead, and the dead, who gets raptured and who doesn't. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission. Through his name. What is that? His name. His name is his identity. It's who he is. Well, who is he? That's the exact function of the gospel of God, to tell us who Jesus was, who Jesus is. To match him with the prophecies in the scriptures, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead, or will, as it was told in Matthew 16:21, that he will rise from the dead. So, the body of Christ gets forgiveness, but Israel only got remission until the return of Christ to blot out Israel's sins, according to Acts 3:19-21. Going on in the text in Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed, so we're talking about little flock people, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the Gentiles, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter is told in the vision that, you know, what God has cleansed, don't call unclean or common. And then the believers, not only the Jews, but the Greeks that were there too, the Gentiles that had blessed Israel and feared God. And we know that's who was there because of Acts 10:35. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So Peter is talking about those Jews and Greeks that believed, but including the Greeks. They had not been baptizing Gentiles before. But this type of Gentile was being baptized at that time now. They were starting to be baptized by Peter's word. It's like he had a key to open the door or something. Israel's manifestations were upon Cornelius and the friends gathered there in Cornelius' house, but it has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not involved in that Cornelius event at all. They're separate, kept separate, not mentioned in the, you know, they're just plain separate. Acts 10:48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, there's the name again. It's the fact that these people had stopped saying, he's not God, he's not the Son of God, he's a fraud. They had stopped saying that and started saying, Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, the exact gospel of God. They identified Jesus, his name, that he was name above all names. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And let me just check in my... I use Theophilus. That's got the script of the Bible, the whole thing here. Let me just make sure that's the end of the chapter. I think it next verse I've got is Acts 11:1, but I just want to say, yeah, there's only 48 verses in 10. Okay. So it says they prayed him, they wanted him to stay there a few days. Verse 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also, now it doesn't say, don't read into it that it says all the Gentiles, but there were Gentiles, the ones that blessed God, the ones that were able to hear the gospel that Peter preached. So the apostle is talking nothing to do with Paul here. This is Israel's 12 apostles, and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Verse 3, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. So they were, you know, seriously trying to accuse him and allege what he was, that he was on the wrong side of things. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. So it is important to get these things in order and to realize, because there were changes going on. It wasn't the same. There, God was dispensing a new way of salvation through Paul. And part of that was the diminishing or cutting off, gradual cutting off. Well, I shouldn't say gradual cutting off. Israel was cut off, you know, point blank. But there was a diminishing which followed, which allowed certain of the individual Jews to finish their consideration of believing that Jesus was the Christ, their Messiah, coming to rule the world from the land. And all those covenants would be fulfilled, even though it was after the fall of Israel, the nation of Israel, so that, you know, there could not be any kingdom at hand anymore. It was out in the future, like it is today. So, going on in Acts 11, verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, this is him expounding it by order unto them. It says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a certain vessel descend, and we hear this whole story again. It's important. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. So it must have come toward him in his trance. upon which when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So there was a change. He had called those things unclean before. You can't say that there were not changes. Let me say it without the double negative. You have to realize that there are changes going on. Actions going on in acts. So after he described that sheet coming down and the beasts in it and the command to not call it common when God has already cleansed it now, in verse 10 he says, This was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse 11, And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Verse 12, And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Verse 13, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 14, Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And notice it's a future tense. They're going to be saved when Christ returns, as is confirmed all the other doctrine and teachings of Israel. It's going to be when Christ returns that they get saved. And that's what it means here. Whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Tells them what to believe in the meantime. And as I spoke, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. So he's telling this to the assembly in the Church of God in Jerusalem. As it fell on them, that would be in Acts 2. Acts 2, it fell on them, and the Spirit fell on them, or the Holy Ghost he's called there. And he's saying it's the same for them. It's not the same for Cornelius as it was for Paul, being sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's not the same. There's no comparison. Paul's not mentioned there. It's talking about Cornelius and their event being like the church in Jerusalem in that event in Acts 2. So Israel's manifestations were upon Cornelius and friends, and it has nothing to do with the body of Christ again, as we can see. Going to Acts 11:16, Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye, that's plural, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, that was in Acts 1:5, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In Acts 1, it was not many days after that that the Acts 2 baptizing of the Holy Ghost occurred. So, going on in Acts 11, verse 17 now, For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. That's not me reading. I mean, I'm reading it, but that's not me speaking it. That's not you or anybody alive today. That's Israel, Israel's apostles, Peter specifically speaking, in as much as God gave them, the Cornelius group, the like gift as he did unto us, us being the Israel's, the Israel of God, Church of God there in Jerusalem, the little flock, not involving the body of Christ at all, but Israelites. The like gift as he gave unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I should withstand God? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace. In other words, they stopped accusing Peter of eating with them. And they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And people take that verse and say, see, in verse 11, Paul was allowed to preach to all Gentiles then. It's not talking about Paul, and it's not talking about all the Gentiles. It's talking about the Gentiles that God granted repentance to, those that were in within the walls of Cornelius' house, whether they're, you know, his family, his relatives, his servants, or his friends. They were in the one house. And Peter was sent to the one person, Cornelius, and the rest listened, and many of them believed, apparently. Repentance unto life. Before it had been, shall be saved. Remember, we saw that in a few verses earlier. They shall be saved, future tense. It looks very much like the unction and the anointing that 1 John tells about. Peter and the Cornelius event might well be God setting up the last instructions in the Bible for the tribulation saints that are yet to come after the catching up of the body of Christ. So that's something to think about. Then Peter stops talking and Paul reports in this Acts 15 meeting. Paul reports about his own ministry among the Gentiles, not all the Gentiles yet, but the Gentiles. It doesn't say all the Gentiles. Don't read that into it. You'll be confirming other places where you read that into it too. It's not there yet. Let it say what it says. The Greeks fill that qualification of being the Gentiles. The Greeks being those Gentiles that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God in the synagogues where the scriptures were kept, and they heard the scriptures and the covenants that God made with Israel, and they took that promise. They claimed the benefits. They blessed Israel to receive a blessing of God. They brought their tithes to help support the synagogue. They had positive words for the Jews. The Greeks were a legitimate group mentioned by Paul many times between Acts 9 and Acts 15, Acts 19. Going on in the text here, we're in Acts 15 now, in verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Not among all the Gentiles. Well, let's go on to verse 13. And after they had held their peace, when they finished telling about it, in other words, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. So I'm not going to draw any conclusions there. Hearken unto me. Verse 14, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Well, that sounds like James is talking about the calling of Abraham out of the Gentile nations to be a, you know, I forget those seven covenants, but one of them talks about a great nation I think many nations, it says, will come out of him. But if you go back in the text, like what we just read, what Simeon or Peter had declared was strictly about Cornelius' house and the Gentiles there. At the first of that calling, that event, that change, did visit Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So it's talking about that group not Abraham, but at the first with Cornelius. Acts 15:15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. And James quotes Amos about the future kingdom coming out of heaven. In Acts 15:16. After this I will return. And I like to hear those statements in the Old Testament about Christ returning, showing that there is going to be an early ministry, earthly, and a ministry from... That's not the division it shows, not the earthly and heavenly, but an early ministry, and then after his rejection, he returns to actually take the throne and take over the world government, and it won't be there won't be any contest to it. The Lord is going to just take over. Says he'll split the Mount of Olives when he returns, split it in half. It's going to be a mighty day. We'll be in heaven by then. Let's see, where was I? 16, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Verse 17, that the residue of men... To me, residue of men means all those left on earth by then, after the catching up of the body of Christ. So that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And look at this scripture confirming that those Gentiles seeking God through Israel's covenants, they're Gentiles that fit the description of the Greeks, but it's after they're not called Greeks anymore. But they seek God through Israel's covenants. Look at Romans 15:10. And again he saith, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. So after the church, the body of Christ, is gone, people, the Gentiles, will not come to God by the gospel of God anymore. They'll have to come by blessing Israel like they did before Paul. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Verse 19. Wherefore my sentence, this is James talking, my sentence is... that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. So from these scriptures in this study, we can see that the Cornelius event was not a widening of Israel's impact to include Gentiles, but rather it was a further diminishing of Israel and Israel's unique Jews-only kingdom you remember back in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, go not into the way of the Gentiles. He's sending his 12 apostles out, and he tells them not to go into the way of the Gentiles with this message of the kingdom, that it's at hand. So that was strong. That was the beginning of it there. And this Cornelius event is a reversal of it. It's going back to the way it was before Christ sent them out with the kingdom message. It's going back to Jews and the Gentiles that would come to God through Israel, just as the program was shutting down, diminishing. But It was a further diminishing of Israel's Jews-only kingdom offer of that kingdom which had been promised, Exodus 19, and is yet to come after God finishes offering his salvation by his grace to all those who will receive it. As not just to the Jew first and to the Greek anymore, it's to all people. We receive it as an undeserved gift without respect of persons or nationalities. It has nothing to do with blessing somebody or not blessing somebody. Fallen, diminishing Israel was getting nearer and nearer to their blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. So that concludes the Acts 10 and 11 study of Cornelius. And that's the way I see it from the scriptures. I'm ready for any questions.